Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and throughout every one of our tomorrows, dear fellow redeemed. One of the reasons why we have a worship service at the end of an old year is to take time to reflect upon the past. We examine our past activities. We repent of our past failures and also of our faithlessness. We rejoice in all the blessings that God has given us. We take time to count up the blessings that our God has bestowed upon us in the past, His guiding hand, His forgiving love, His protection, His abundant riches. And then we also need to, with earnest resolve, promise to be more faithful and fruitful by the grace of God and with the help of God. This evening we'll be looking at several passages from God's Word that help us in a proper celebration of the old year and a welcoming of the new year. So close of the old year, a time for reflection. A time for reflection, first of all, on the rapid flight of time and the temporary nature of all things. Over the 30-some years of my ministry, I haven't met many elderly members who haven't said to me, "Pastor, I can't believe I'm as old as I am. I can't believe that so many years have gone by. I'm already 85, 90, 95 years old. Time has just flown by." A long life, you say? A mere brief glimpse of time. God's Word tells us, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue." Applying these words to ourselves, we must agree with the psalmist in Psalm 102, "My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass." Not only do we human beings pass away quickly, but everything we own and use and have and do and even try to immortalize for our eternal glory passes away. We read in Hebrews 1, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment." John tells us in our first epistle, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, its cravings, its desires, the boasting of all that it has done." As we end the year, we should reflect on how fast time flies by, how quickly we too will be just a memory. We also need to reflect on the temporary nature of worldly things so that we realize that this world is not our treasure. Heaven is our real home. Many of the sports heroes, movie stars, and famous singers of my early youth have passed away. They're gone. Many are forgotten. And so it is with man. Many of the famous people today will soon become a memory. What a blessing that we and our children have learned about the real heroes. Heroes that are still relevant to us today. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, David, Elijah, and of course, the greatest hero of all, Jesus. So as we close the old year, it's a time to reflect on the rapid flight of time and the not enduring nature of this world. But secondly, it's also a time to reflect on God's goodness toward us, and also upon our own unworthiness. Another year of multitude blessings has come to an end. This past year we saw new babies, new jobs, continued health, birthdays celebrated, employment, needs met, bills paid, trips taken, gardens planted and harvested, family gatherings made, the word proclaimed, God's sacraments administered, and the announcement of the forgiveness of sins continually proclaimed from this congregation, and how we respond to all these blessings of God with sin. And as Christians, we appreciate all that God has done for us, and yet because of our sinful nature, when we look at all those blessings God gave us, how many times haven't we complained, disobeyed, rebelled, acted selfishly, been discontented, worried? When we reflect upon this past year, let's meditate on these words of Jacob. He said, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant." Unfortunately, Paul and Isaiah's words applied to us this past year, 2012. They wrote, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." And even though we don't deserve anything, yet God's mercy is new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. His love has showered upon us, so we are not consumed. The third thing we should reflect upon at the end of the year is our need to repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. From the first moments of 2012 to the very last minutes, yet this evening, we have committed and will continue to commit sins. Sins of thought, in word, and action. Sins of commission and sins of omission. These sins need to be atoned for. They need to be paid for by somebody taking that punishment. They need to be forgiven. And as we all know, Jesus is the one who came to pay the punishment, the guilt for our sins. He was the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. And when we are led by the Holy Spirit to repent of our sins, to acknowledge our miserable life of sinfulness, and look to Jesus Christ for full and free forgiveness, we have the assurance our sins are cast into the depths of the sea, and our Father says He will remember them no more. We read David's words of Psalm 51 when he confessed his sin. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities." It's the closing of an old year. It entails time to reflect. It also entails time to resolve. This world makes a lot about New Year's resolutions, but they really don't amount to very much. For the child of God, making a resolution to the power of the Holy Spirit means those can be kept. And so, as we close the old year, let us resolve to change our sinful life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, read from David's words in Psalm 51. We pray, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Through Christ who lives in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say no to sin and temptation. We can say no to our sinful nature, our selfish hearts. And we can say yes to Christ. into the keeping of His commandments. We can live Spirit-controlled lives in Christ. We can win more and more battles and struggles with this sinful world, with Satan, our own sinful flesh, through Christ who lives in us and the power of the Holy Spirit who works in us through the gospel message. And that leads us to our second resolve at the end of the old year, and that is to be more diligent in our use of God's word and His sacraments, the means of grace, and to be more diligent in the use of our time in serving God and serving fellow human beings. The Apostle John wrote, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." A child of God will resolve at the end of the new year, old year, to be more diligent to walk, have his faith walk in the truth of God's word. That means being more diligent in our own personal use of the Bible at home, private devotions, family Bible readings, coming consistently and regularly to hear it in church, partaking of the Lord's Supper often, coming to Bible class, studying God's word. We also want to be more diligent in our use of our time, and not serving ourselves, but being diligent in wanting to serve our Lord, and especially serve others by bringing them the gospel message of salvation. So let's think about doing just that in hymn 118, "Father, Let Me Dedicate." Hymn 118. Even if we reflect upon the past year, we need to look forward and ahead to the new year. What's the proper way to celebrate and welcome the beginning of the new year? Well, one way is to trust. To trust in God's everlasting mercy and never-failing promises. What amazing words of trust David wrote in Psalm 27. And we also apply these words to each of our lives as we embark on 2013. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. From the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our Lord, through Isaiah, promises us as we face 2013, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And our Savior himself promised us, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I uphold you in my righteous right hand. As we look forward to the unknown days of 2013, we look with trust in the hundreds upon hundreds of promises that our God gives to us in his word. And we can be confident of another wonderful year, abounding in mercy, abounding in God's grace. And so secondly, we trust in God's steadfast love in Christ Jesus. We know, we are assured, whether we go over that fiscal cliff or not, we're assured in the coming new year that God's grace in Christ will not change. We are assured that the ultimate forgiveness of sins through Jesus' shed blood will remain the same. We are assured in 2013 that his promise that whatever happens in our lives, whatever change occurs in our lives, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. So finally, as we look forward to the beginning of the new year, it's also time to live. To live as Christian pilgrims on this earth. It means that we're visitors. We're strangers. We're foreigners. We're wanderers. We're not permanent citizens of this world. Heaven is our home, not this globe of dirt. Scripture warns us that if we live for this world and love this world, the love of the Father is not in us. If we live only for this home, then we've lost our heavenly home. We live as transients and nomads without deep roots, lest those deep roots lead us away from Christ and looking toward the home he's earned for us. And therefore, finally we will live in constant readiness for our Lord's return. Maybe it will be this year. Maybe we won't celebrate another birthday. Maybe we won't enjoy another warm summer. Maybe we won't celebrate Christmas. Or another New Year's Eve. That shouldn't make us sad. Shouldn't make us fearful. But rejoice. Maybe Christ will come and take all of us together with him in the last judgment. Or take one of us personally through death. But that will be the beginning of real life. Then the eternal Christmas will commence, and an endless summer of joys and blessings will begin. You know, when you look over this list of the proper way of celebrating the passing of the old year and the beginning of a new year, really, it is something that we should do every night. As we look back upon our day and lay our heads down to rest. So I ask you to open your bulletins and follow along with me again as we read the close of the old year and the themes that are written there. We need to reflect on the rapid flight of time and the temporary nature of all things. We need to reflect on God's goodness and mercy and on our own unworthiness. We need to reflect on our need to repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. We also to resolve to change our sinful life through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be more diligent in our use of God's word and sacraments, and to be more diligent in our use of our time in serving God and our fellow human beings. The beginning of the new year is a time to trust in God's everlasting mercy and never-failing promises, a time to trust in God's steadfast love to us in Christ, and is a time to live as Christian pilgrims here on earth and in constant readiness for our Lord's return. So bring on tomorrow. Bring on 2013. Bring on eternity. In Christ, yesterday is forgiven. Tomorrow is assured of God's grace. And today will be filled with joy and trust and happiness. And so with assurance, I can say, God bless you and a blessed new year to you all. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior throughout the coming year. Amen.